It means seeing your flaws, accepting them, and realizing I can do better. So these are just a few thoughts to think about on this podcast. So welcome to Winning with Trevor. I appreciate your ears, your minds, and the time that you spend contemplating how you can be successful.
And I hope your Thursday is finding you doing well and prospering. This is Trevor W. Goodchild, host of Winning with Trevor, your no BS guide to self-improvement. And I really want to say that the expectations we have of ourselves often create the trajectory that we tend to follow, because we expect the best, we get the best, or we get close to it, and we expect the worst, we're not going to get our best qualities and attributes. So always expect the best from yourself. And I expect that, you know, you'll find value in reading my weekly Tuesday newsletters at trevorwgoodchild.com/subscribe. If you're not already a subscriber, please subscribe. And if you are already a subscriber, share with a friend that link and let them know that it's a valuable newsletter, and share what you like about it. Share what you like about it with me. Send me an email at trevor@trevorwgoodchild.com and tell me the top three things you enjoy about my newsletter and what you might want to see more of, and I will welcome that feedback. And of course, you can always go to trevorwgoodchild.com/5lifehacks and get a few cool tips. And just sign up, download that ebook for free, and apply those techniques to improve the quality of your life. So, to recap our last podcast last Thursday, as I have faithfully been releasing on a consistent basis podcasts every single week on Thursday, we talked about what it's like to be disconnected from other people. And it's a real challenge, and it's a common phenomenon that a lot of people experience with, you know, in-laws, with friends groups, with coworkers, when we feel like we can't really relate to the people that we're around. And it's a challenge because you feel the obligation to fit in, you feel the obligation to use the same terms and references and be on the same page. We all want to be on the same page to certain extents. We celebrate our differences, but God, isn't it great when you meet someone that can relate to the stuff that you talk about and that you're interested in? It's a great feeling, and it's a challenge when you feel like everything that you're saying and doing is falling flat and not being well received. So that's a very important topic. We covered that last time, and the four maxims for this podcast, if you've never tuned in before, first one is success. Our current theme is how to be successful in life. And then happiness. What truly is this mysterious, all-pervasive, unattainable but attainable, thousands of years have been spent thinking about it, emotion of happiness, or state of being, state of life, state of mind? And the third one is personal responsibility, because you got to own up for the path that you're on, for the steps that you take, and then be conscious and aware of where those steps lead to. And this leads to our last maxim, self-awareness, because with the awareness of yourself, you're able to categorize different parts of your life and see what needs attention, see what you need to work on in order to be happy, in order to be successful. So self-awareness was the first theme that we explored in this podcast, first launched back in the day. So today, I think it's really important to talk about the value of how everyone plays a role in your life. And it could be a different role than what you originally assigned them. Sometimes friends can become guidance. You know, they can really help guide you through the example that they set, through the advice that they give. Sometimes they can show you how not to be. Sometimes friends can play the role of a family figure, whether that's a brother, a mother, a sister, a father, you know, a cousin. Sometimes friends really take the place of our blood family when we get close to them. And sometimes people that we might meet in our academic careers, like our professors, they become our gurus, or they become role models for, you know, where we'd like to end up becoming more like. You know, there's all different types of roles that people play. However, sometimes random people that come into your life that aren't a reoccurring character on the set of Seinfeld, they can really be a catalyst for a whole change of the way you think and feel. And that's really interesting. But the thing is that you have to be receptive. You have to be open. And you have to really understand what the opportunity is. When someone else comes into my life and changes the way I think, it's kind of a big deal. It's one of those things that really shifts your path. It gives you a chance to reflect on what you've been doing so far and where that might end up leading you to, and all these side paths along the way. So people enter your life for a reason. Sometimes it's a reason that we decide. We subjectively say, okay, you know, this person entered my life for a reason. This person cut me off in traffic today, and it was for a reason. It was to remind me the value of human life. It was to remind me that the decisions I make can be life or death, and that, you know what, it's just not worth it. It's not worth it to try to, you know, cut them off again and have road rage, because I value the life I live. So that's just, you know, kind of a really mundane example. You could have another example, like my math teacher, who told me the gap between what you expect from other people and yourself is rather large, when I was 16 years old. And that was such a poignant little sentence. Really changed my whole perspective as a teenager about a lot of things. That was huge. That was a huge catalyst for me. So a lot of times people can come into your life, even if it's only momentarily, while you're taking a class, while you're driving down the road. Sometimes they can say some profound stuff that make you really scratch your head and say, wow, I never thought about that way. You know, my friend Garay, I think he likes to call himself Garrett, he says something to me today that really stuck with me. I've been really, really, really down on myself. I've been dealing with some self-hatred. I really disappointed myself recently about something that happened. There was a car accident, and I had been really getting down on myself about it because I felt completely responsible. And as a result, I had started to feel really bad about the situation. And I'm still figuring it out, still working through my emotions on it. It was an intense thing. But Garrett told me something today that really changed my perspective, because I started to really get down on myself and say, you know what, I'm a terrible driver. I can't have nice things. I ruin good stuff that I come into contact with, and I have a hard time trusting myself now. So I had applied a whole label, right, to myself based on this experience that I had had. And we do that sometimes. It's a very, very fine line that we walk between being honest about how we address our faults and flaws in order to improve them, and then also making a whole character judgment about who we are based on one situation. Because we tend to associate values with actions that happen and then the response from those actions. When this happens, when A happens, B is the result, and C equals the person I am because that happened the way it did. It did happen. I don't know if that makes any sense. Basically, based on our actions, we decide that we're this type of person or that type of person, you know, because of the response that we get from the world or the situation. So not to get too complex here, but I had started to fall into that let me label myself as just someone that's not trustworthy with nice things. So I was getting down on myself. Garrett realized this, and he said, you know what? It was just a lapse in judgment. Lapse in judgment. He hit the nail on the head. It really helped put it into perspective for myself. Instead of relabeling my entire character as untrustworthy with nice things or a bad driver, you know, it really helped me understand, you know what, this is right. It was a moment. I probably could have done better. Didn't mean there's no hope. Doesn't mean that I can't improve. Doesn't mean that I'm even a bad driver. It just means there's a lapse in judgment. I could have done better. I missed an opportunity, but there's always next time. So that really helped me put that in perspective and reframe things so that I could move forward and move beyond that, instead of getting stuck in this one place where I was really having some issues with my self-esteem and having some issues accepting myself for the mistakes that I've made. And we get stuck sometimes. It's really important to find methods and ways and people that can be a good catalyst to help you get unstuck. So people enter our lives for a reason. We never know what role they're going to play. We never know what thing they're going to say. That sometimes can really make the difference, as long as you're open to receiving and as long as you're open to not having the same perspective your entire life. As long as you're open to tweaking and adjusting your perspective to, you know, optimize it. See how you can get better and feel better. Then you'll be in the right mindset. And that's really important. So, speaking of mindset, you know, I don't know if you follow a lot of people in the mindset world for self-help or positive thinking, or even your academic advisors at college or counselors when you were in high school, or, you know, a lot of motivational memes that you might see on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat, and any other social media outlet. A lot of times you'll see stuff that, you know, it's got these kind of generic phrases, or people, maybe coworkers or other people that you know, friends, they'll kind of give you these generic platitudes when they're giving you advice. I don't know if you're ever on the receiving end of this, when you're kind of questioning your direction in life or with your career and you want to figure things out. You get the slew of platitudes, you know, follow your passion, climb the corporate ladder, build your resume. You have a lot of these little sayings, and they don't mean anything. They really don't. They're just little platitudes people like to say, because it's harder to address the deeper question, which is, what's your sense of purpose? What are you really called here to do, and how do you find that out? That's really kind of behind the scenes, pull back the curtain. That's what you're really asking. Now, sometimes we do need to make adjustments in the career that we work in. Sometimes we really want to level up and make more money and be in a happier place, or not feel like we're a wage slave to a job that we hate, but actually do something that we love. I mean, these are all valuable pursuits, but a lot of times the trendy slogans, the euphemisms, the plethora of platitudes gets in the way of really addressing what's at the heart of the issue. What is at the heart of the issue, Trevor, you may ask, driving in your nice Beamer down the road, listening to this podcast through your satellite radio? What is the purpose? What is the whole root issue beneath all of this? How do you find this out? You know, it really comes down to being sincerely yourself. And I struggle with this. And I'm someone that talks about how great doing this is. And it's not bullshit. It really is amazing. It's fantastic to really sincerely be yourself. But how does one do that? When you wear a series of masks, when you listen to a bunch of things other people have told you about yourself or who you are or what you should be doing or shouldn't be doing, where do you find yourself in all that? You get used to just giving it the bare minimum, the least amount of effort that you can do to actually get by and not have to have an oh shit moment where you're really freaking out about your identity and about your direction in life and asking those hard questions that make you re-examine your entire life trajectory. Because in a sense, now stay with me here, I'm going to go conceptual, but in a sense, we're kind of making a copy of ourself that we present to the outside world. And in a sense, it's not genuinely ourselves, because we may feel a higher calling to do something more and greater that's more representative of who we are. But we feel we have to please other people. We have to fit in. We have to be part of the social stratosphere and be functional. And a lot of the demands of this require us to kind of clone ourselves without the real deeper parts of ourselves that sincerely are questioning the meaning of the universe, our lives, what we're doing here, and want to seek more. Want to seek more than just the surface level of things. But we don't want to embarrass other people by asking questions they can't answer or don't feel comfortable wanting to discuss. We don't want to appear awkward or unnormal or abnormal or just out of place. So this pressure of wanting to fit in, even if it's not a huge pressure that's conscious on our minds, it pervades in our subconscious. The groupthink, the wanting to establish a role in the group that we belong to. Because everyone belongs to different groups within society, within the subsets of those larger groups or smaller groups that we're part of. I'm not going to give you a study of anthropology right now. I don't have enough time. And, you know, the point would be lost. But the larger issue here is that we're basically creating an MVP of ourself. No, I'm not talking about Jordan. I'm not talking about Kobe. I wish he wouldn't retire. We're not talking about Joe Madden. We're not talking about a most valuable player. We're talking about a minimum viable product. We've basically found a way to create a minimum valuable product of ourselves that we're okay with offering to other people because we know that that's going to be accepted. And because we know that's going to be accepted, we can hide behind this minimal viable product of ourself and shy away from re-examining in that really heartfelt, sometimes painful, sometimes embarrassing introspection. Because we feel exposed when we really think deeper and we think about the way we act and we think about how much that really represents what we feel in life. And a lot of people, especially as they get older, beyond 40, they start to feel like ditching the MVP. They feel like ditching the minimum viable product and exchanging that for just kind of being an asshole and not caring what anybody thinks because they're tired of being diplomatic or they're tired of having good social etiquette. And it's kind of a sense of emotional laziness. So that's not what I'm talking about. The thing is that while we do create these minimum viable products that are versions of our personality that isn't truly representative of who we are, we can still authentically be ourselves and have that include consideration and validation for other people and consistently be positive and be compassionate in how we really kind of go about our life, the energy that we emit to other people that creates the environment that we're in. So we can still transcend that MVP like Neo in the Matrix, spoiler alert, in the last Matrix when he just jumps through Mr. Smith and bursts through in a, you know, giant explosion of light. He transcended the duality of fighting and just became better. And through that vibration of frequency, just transcended all the other bullshit. And that's if that's understandable as kind of a journey for your personality throughout life. If you can evolve to that state where you can just be yourself without worrying. And this is a difference from like the I don't give a F kind of attitude, like Slim Shady Eminem songs. This is different from that. This is not an apathetic disregard for what other people think and feel. This is more of a, I'm just a sincere person. I still care and I still validate other people's feelings, but I'm going to be sincere and I'm going to be myself unapologetically, authentically, yet still compassionately. Be who I am. And that journey of self-discovery is a lifelong journey. And it is something that will always be taking steps towards. I'm still discovering, you know, every day, new things about who I am, what I think, where I'm going in life, and what I can do to better myself. A lot of people rely on gamification to help them make progress. If they can make self-discovery and self-care, self-improvement, and the trajectory of becoming a better person a game, like a video game of sorts. This helps people sometimes make progress. It's all about what works for you. And so when you have the plethora of platitudes, you know, being delivered from one MVP to the next MVP, these minimum viable product versions of our personality, follow your passion, climb the corporate ladder, follow your dreams, build your resume. I'm not saying you shouldn't follow your dreams. Don't get me wrong. But do it authentically. You know, when you hear one MVP say that to another MVP, or to yourself, and it's the MVP you're representing to the world, your minimum viable personality, remember to do it because it feels like you're being yourself. Remember to motivate yourself to continue to progress because it feels authentically like who you are, deeper than the minimum viable personality, minimum viable persona. Go deeper. You may have to really spend some time figuring it out. You may have to really make space. I mean, I'm talking about internal space. Maybe you do want to go to Nepal. Maybe you want to go to the top of Mount Everest and just sit on a mountaintop if you can do that. And you have that kind of location flexibility. Great. But you don't have to. You can simply sit in your bedroom by yourself and make some space inside yourself. Make some space. Get outside of your own thoughts. Whoa, meta. What do I mean by that? I mean, you may not realize this, sir or madam, listening to the Winning with Trevor podcast. You may not realize this, but you have a pattern of the thoughts that you think. And while we think a bajillion thoughts a day, I forget the exact number. I don't think it's a bajillion, technically speaking, but it's a buttload, which is an actual measurement and quantity of something. It's a lot of thoughts, but your thoughts still have reoccurring themes and patterns to them. And it's just like the habits that we have for getting up, taking a shower, brushing our teeth, making our coffee, making our breakfast, going to work, going to school, put the car into ignition, you know, place it at a park, put it into drive. We have all these little habits that we adapt to our life. Our thoughts mirror some of these habits. We have habitual ways of thinking, and it's one of those things where it's kind of hard to identify why you're stuck in life, why you're stuck not progressing a little further. And remember, as I like to say, we always progress as long as we continue to progress. Well, that progress is not happening if we're stuck inside of kind of this circular logic, this cage that our habits put around our heart and our mind and our imagination. Our imagination sometimes gets stuck, and it's rusty because we're not actively engaging it, directed towards really being creative for imagining our life and the trajectory that we are capable of making above and beyond just the bare minimum. And so when we begin to apply our imagination to our thought patterns, we can see amazing things happen for ourselves. When we start to apply our imagination to different parts of our life that we didn't begin to even address creatively before, it's pretty phenomenal what can happen. I mean, I still have this one day in my life that was a huge breakthrough for me because I started applying my imagination and my creativity to life design. And I started saying to myself, you know, why are you broke? Why are you not making more money? Why are you lacking vision for where you're headed beyond just working at a 9-to-5 job? And, you know, myself answered myself, and I said, oh, it's because I never really applied my creativity to my life path, to the map of my life and where I'm going. I never really applied it. I was always applying my imagination to different things, whether it was to imagining stuff I was reading in a book or different kind of spin-offs from a movie I would watch and imagine how it could have gone if this happened or that happened, or even, you know, art class in school and watercolor painting and things like that, or you know, I'm a musician, not everybody is, but my imagination went in different ways. We all have imagination. Some people are more vivid in their visualization skills, but we all have it. And I never directed my imagination towards thinking about my life path for success. And when I redirected my imagination, three major key things happened. First, in reference to what I was introducing this topic about, is I broke the pattern of habitual thinking. I was stuck for a while because I'd only been thinking the same kind of thoughts. Maybe it wasn't the exact thought, right? I had different thoughts, but they followed a similar pattern, and I was stuck inside this pattern because I was only thinking kind of the same way all the time. I didn't really get space inside myself to reflect on getting outside of my normal thoughts. And so that's kind of why I was suggesting that before following up, you know, really taking steps in your life to improve, not just to be living up to a plethora of platitudes, but to actually be yourself. And following that, I was mentioning a real tool for learning that self-discovery for who you are, and the power behind that is making space to reflect on your own thoughts and getting outside of your habitual thoughts. Well, this was a Sunday. I have it marked on my calendar, and I celebrate it every year because it was a huge moment for me. I was sitting down on this Sunday, and I was just starting to casually think about my life, the path that I've been on, the successes that I've had, the failures that I've had, the obstacles I've had to overcome to be here today. And I just started really questioning. See, that's where it begins, the curiosity. It can't be this kind of desperate sense of something's got to give. It's got to be from a curious perspective, a cat-like perspective, where you're able to just examine yourself, not with a definite end in mind, but just out of curiosity. And I was in this mood. I was curious. I was like, Trevor, you're a fairly intelligent guy. Like, what's going on? Why haven't you created a better source of income for yourself? Why haven't you started to live out more of your dreams, travel to more countries that you really wanted to see? And, you know, what's with that? And so this was 2017, I believe it was sometime in April 2017. And I started to think outside my normal thought patterns. I started to think thoughts about my thoughts, getting meta, exponential. And it really occurred to me to redirect my creativity towards planning my life and about being creative and curious together to expand my imagination into career-wise, into entrepreneurship. This evolved into my passion for startup businesses, for entrepreneurship, and the amazing world that can be. I ended up meeting some amazing people, some millionaires that had really successfully launched their own businesses that they'd used their own imagination to create, and the reward that that ended up having on the quality of their life, their families, how they're able to provide for them, the travel destinations they were able to go. I met some people that have literally built entire schools in Africa and changed entire cities and communities and improved the quality of life. Some pretty phenomenal experiences all stemmed from this one moment on a Sunday when I started to think about my thoughts using curiosity and imagination together to get outside the habitual pattern of the thoughts that I'd always been thinking. And that allowed me to really grow as a person. So that's one of my huge major life hacks that I have to offer you today, is follow your dreams, but not because you're reading it on a Hallmark card, but because you're getting to know who you really are. You're getting to discover who that person is, what you're capable of, beyond being the minimum viable persona. Transform that into the most viable player of this life that you're living because you decided to take the leap, to take a second, re-examine, re-evaluate, go deeper, ask those questions, find out what you're really passionate about, find out why you're passionate about it, and find out where you can go if you really followed your passion, and then research how you can do this. That's how you can be successful. And that is a huge, huge game changer in your entire life philosophy if you apply this and really go with it. Like Radiohead says, take the money and run. All right, sorry, something like that. The point is that when you repurpose your imagination towards reformatting the life that you're going to live and looking beyond your minimum viable persona, you can really make some huge progress and some huge gains towards living that life of your dreams and understanding your own personal why and finding that how only after you realize, you know what? I really feel like this is what I should be doing. So that's your pro tip for this week and this podcast. Thanks for tuning in. You can subscribe to my newsletter at trevorwgoodchild.com/subscribe. You can get my Anything is Possible ebook at trevorwgoodchild.com/anythingispossible. All one word. And thanks again so much for everything that you do.
It means seeing your flaws, accepting them, and realizing I can do better. So these are just a few thoughts to think about on this podcast. This is Winning with Trevor, signing off. Appreciate your ears, your minds, and the time you spend contemplating how you can be successful.